Hey everybody, welcome back to VGF Cast. This is episode 3, sometime in April, mid-April. We don't have dates because we never know when we're going to publish. But anyway, so I'm Ryan and I'm here with Taylor.
Hello.
And then Chris, again, being weird.
Hello. It's really too bad we don't have like a video.
We should start doing video just so you people can see what Chris does. It's ridiculous. But yeah,
the very beginning, the podcast.
All five listeners, I guess, then viewers would run far and run fast. Hey,
we had 60 views last episode.
Woo! So woo. Keep listening.
We love you guys.
10 of them were me, but you know.
Whatever.
Like, share, and subscribe.
Does it count if you whisper it?
Yeah, it's not. I think it's not as annoying and cliche if you whisper it, right?
Hey,
because sure it's like you didn't want to say it, but you had to.
But you had to. Yeah. Well,
comment and subscribe and share. So we got a good show today. We're going to talk some more Mass Effect. Mass Effect 2, actually. It's going to be fun. And other than that, it's just going to be a mystery, I think. But that's going to be the main portion of the show. But of course, as always, we start with the moment's grievance. And I think Chris should start today.
Can I get to start this time?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think we can all relate to people crossing the street wrong. This is, well, I've titled this one so far, and it's titled Idiots.
Okay, so far this is a very Chris moment's grievance. Okay, everyone's stupid except me.
Not just people. I'm really upset with people crossing the street wrong, but not just like normal streets where they just like walk across the street, but people crossing the street in a parking lot where it's like, if a car is nice enough to wait for you, then you walk across the street. You don't walk diagonal across the street and then start walking like in front of the car and walking straight. Or they're like you'll stop for them to go and they'll like run, but then once they get to like where the car is, they'll just start walking again. It's like, if you're gonna run to the part where you run past the car and then start walking again. Like, that happens all the time. People will always be like, oh, I got to go. And so, like, they'll run into the street. Once they're in the street, they'll start walking. It's like, run, you idiot. That, too. And then I was at Target the other day, and I saw, like, 4 people try to go to the exit and try to use it as, like, an entrance. And, like they'll go to it, and the door won't open. They'll just be like, why isn't the door opening? It's like, because it's an exit, you idiot. And they're like, oh, this is an exit. Yeah, like every other store, the entrance is generally on the left and the exit's usually on the right. I don't understand how you don't get this by now. And then I'm leaving the store, and this is where I tried to say something under my breath, but somebody heard me. And the lady, because I was walking out, so it opened for me. And she walked in, like into the exit. And I was like, this is an exit. And then she's like, yeah, I know. I was like, oh, shoot. I just tried to say it like, oh, this is an exit, like idiot. Like, I don't know why I said it out loud, but she heard me. She's like, yeah, I know.
I don't think I've ever run into an exit door that wouldn't open for me.
Yeah.
They always open.
There's a couple of them that just don't, they don't do it.
Isn't it like at most Targets, won't it like not open?
Yeah, there's I've gotten
like stuck inside the middle room there in a Target before because like I get walked in the first door when it was open, but then the second one wouldn't open. So I had to walk back out and walk around.
Which is super funny because I'm generally a rule person. Like, if there's a rule, I'm going to follow it just because it tends to make life easier. I could care less about exits and entrances. Like, whatever one's closest, that's the one I'm walking through.
Yeah, I got to say, I can't really relate to either of those very much. Those are pretty nitpicky grievances.
When you see people crossing the street and they start walking diagonal in front of you, that is so annoying. Like, I'm stopping for you. Can't you just walk across the street and then start walking to your destination?
Maybe it's a symptom of having moved away from California and living in Utah now, where people are generally more polite.
Yeah, maybe that's just it.
Overall a higher IQ.
I gotta say, you brought some pretty low tier grievances this week, Chris.
Yeah.
That just showcases Chris to a T. Just like,
those were some Kirby grievances
about
right there.
Nothing.
Kirby tier. Sorry.
Kirby tier.
Only melee.
Get out of here with that crap.
N64 Kirby is.
Oh, N64 Kirby is bae. All right. I got one, guys.
All right. Let's hear it.
This is so good. Freaking people on the internet. Why do they have to be the way they are? Okay. So you guys know this story, but for the podcast. So I build custom gaming PCs just kind of on the side. and I sell them. And so, basically I posted this gaming PC on a couple of Facebook pages, and, it was a pretty decent build. Like, it's not like top of the line or anything, but it was like $650, and it's like, it's going to run every game, most games like on ultra or at least on high. So like for $650, that's a good deal, right? And so, it's an i3, it was an R9 380. So if you know PC hardware, that's what it was. And these people start commenting, like just random strangers that are like in these Facebook groups that I'm trying to sell it on. They start commenting like, oh, this is trash because it has an i3. It's like, what? Like,
moron.
And they're like, oh, you're charging way too much for this. And then they're comparing it to like a computer that literally would barely run like Counter-Strike Go and is used and is like $300. And it's like, well, yeah, like, of course you can buy a used Corolla for cheaper than a new Mustang. Everybody knows that. Like,
that's a dumb moment.
It's just like, it's just so stupid. Like, everybody's like, oh, this is trash because it's got an i3. Okay, I know what I'm doing with PC hardware. I've done my research. I've actually like personally benchmarked and stuff. And like literally in like 98% of games, i3 and i5 makes no difference, like with that tier of graphics card that it had. Like if you're going to like top level graphics card, yeah, you want like an i5 or an i7, but you don't want to spend more on your CPU than you're spending on your GPU, or else you're doing it wrong. Like, that's stupid. And it's just so frustrating. Like, these people commenting, like they have nothing to gain by commenting that this sucks, and they don't know what they're talking about. So they're totally wrong. And then like, it just makes me look bad, and it basically like makes it harder for me to make a sale. It's just, I was so mad about this for like 2 days.
You left out my favorite part of the story though.
Which part?
So there's this guy who also sells
a
computer who like pops onto this thing and he's like typing all these negative things, like super condescending, just like, oh, hey, little boy, I've been doing this forever. And he's like, I offer the same warranty basically. So Ryan offers a 2-year warranty, where it's like, anything goes wrong, he's going to fix it. This guy's warranty is 1 year. He's like, yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, it is literally half as good. That is no way is the same warranty. Like,
it is objectively worse. Like,
my 100,000 mile warranty is just as good as your 200,000 mile warranty. Like, no, most cars break down in the 1 to 200 range. It's just so funny. I was like, wow, this is dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad. And then he too, like, he had some builds with an i7. It was like a second gen i7. So like super old versus my sixth gen i3, which the i7 is still more powerful, but it's an old, like way old gen i7 versus a brand new, like hot off the press i3. Right. You just can't compare that. Like, you can't compare like the monetary value of it, not the power, but the value.
I was reading on a forum the other day, and somebody started complaining about everybody attacking him, and it was justified. Like, everybody just jumped on the bandwagon, and the guy says, dude, it's the internet. The internet is anarchy. You can't expect anything good to come from anarchy. And it's like, yeah, that's a good point. The internet kind of does suck.
Yeah. If anything, it's like, it's a case study for us of how much we need government to like regulate crap.
Government and accountability. Like, yes. If nobody knows who you are, turns out you turn into a dirtbag. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll admit I say and do some things on the internet that I would never do to somebody in real life.
Oh, my brother is a great example, although he does that in person a lot too.
One thing, like on the internet too, if you're in the minority, it's no reason to even comment.
Nope. Just shut your mouth.
You can't win.
Yeah, you can't even talk to the internet mobs.
The other day there was a YouTube creator that was saying something really stupid. Like, they were talking about I'm not gonna say what it was about. Anyway, they're talking about something really stupid. They didn't really know anything about it. And so like I commented and I got like quite a bit of likes for it. For my comment, like 50 something likes on the creator's YouTube page, and then he responds with like 400 something likes, the stupidest comment ever. Obviously he's gonna get more likes because it's all of his followers, but it's just like, you can't win as a minority. Even if your argument makes 10 times more sense than theirs, they still don't know what they're talking about. You just can't win. Like, so
the internet's so interesting because there are absolute nut job douchebag just wackos that nobody in real life would listen to. Like, you'd take one look at him, you'd smell him and say, he is in no way anybody I want to model my life after. I don't think I'm going to take his advice. But on the internet, nobody knows that he's Crazy Bob with the pan for a helmet. Like,
that's my key way I judge people. I go and smell them. I'm a sniffer.
You totally should.
I just like to know if they're nut jabs or not.
Nut jab. Nut jab. You know, that's my Canadian that's leaking out. Oh, don't you know?
Freaking Bobby's world right there.
Oh, man. Anyways.
All right, Taylor. You got a grievance?
I got a grievance. And mine's video game related this time.
Woo!
I know. You guys won't be able to relate to it any still, but I hate how much I play games and still suck at them. I hate my status as a permanoob so bad. And I know half of you listening are thinking, oh, loser. But still, like, as we've been playing Siege, I've dumped more time into Siege than I have probably any other first-person shooter in my life, barring Halo 1. Like, I played a lot of Halo 1. I'm still the worst. No matter what we play, like, I'll have good rounds and bad rounds, but just my sheer lack of depth in first-person shooters, it is so aggravating. And the older I get, it gets worse, because now you've got all these kids who don't have anything else to do. And so, like, my 1 hour compared to their 15 that they're spending, I just feel like I'm falling behind and I'll never be good again. Not that I ever was good, but that's my grievance.
I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm not as good at games as I used to be. And I still play games like a lot, but yeah. It's like, I'm not even old. You know, I'm like, I'm 28. It's like, that's not that old. Like, I just like in Rainbow Six, for example, like, I'm holding a solid maybe like 1.13 KD, and it's like, man, like, I used to be so much better than this in games.
Although with Siege, I believe strongly in the win loss over the KD.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think a majority of the community actually agrees with that.
For once, the one game.
That's like, yeah, that's one of the few games. Call of Duty people always like, I don't care about my win loss. It's like Battlefield 4 with some people. There's definitely a lot that will just be there. I can't even remember that class is the sniper one. Recon. Mm-hmm. They'll just be recon, just try to get their sniper kills. And you have the guys that are actually trying for objectives and stuff. And that's one of the games that people actually will argue about win loss over KD. But Siege, definitely people are like, who cares about your KD? You could be the guy that gets a flank every once in a while, but if you get your team killed because you're an idiot,
yeah,
lose the game.
Also, I gotta contest one thing you were saying there, Taylor. You're actually pretty dang good at Halo 1.
That's true.
Because I remember one time we had this LAN party. Like, we used to do Halo 1 LAN parties all the time growing up.
All the time.
And then, like, we all, like, when we were all in Utah, like, this is, I didn't know Taylor before, but then we were all in Utah. Taylor married my sister, so I knew Taylor. We got some of the old guys together and we started doing Halo parties again. And
I got a pity.
Yeah. And, like, so this one time, it was like, we did a 3v4 where it was me, Taylor, and our friend Camden. He was on stream with us a lot. And we were the three versus four, who were also like, two of those guys are pretty dang good. And the other two were like, whatever, but they could hold their own. But like, on Blood Gulch, 3v4, capture the flag. We weren't really scoring, but it was a stalemate. They weren't getting across the halfway point of that map at all.
Straight.
Just with three of us. So, with, you know, if you weren't good, that wouldn't have happened.
You know what? The only reason that I can even take any credit in that match is that it was Blood Gulch, because I could probably say I've poured hundreds of hours into that game. A solid 90% is on Blood Gulch. Like, we just never left it.
Yeah.
The only time, Wizard Rockets.
Oh, Wizard.
The rest of the time, Blood Gulch, 100%.
Okay, Hang'em Rockets, also really good.
Oh, I'm thinking Hang'em.
Are you thinking
Hang'em? That's with all the stone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, all the tombs.
Hang'em High. Yeah. Not Wizard. Please.
Wizard is still super fun, though, too.
Yeah, it's all right.
So that reminds me of custom games. And like, having the options in custom games to change so many things that I think, like, so somebody posted the other day, like, on the Rainbow Six Siege subreddit, We're going to talk about Mass Effect before Siege, but somebody talked about like a game that they were playing, custom game, where it was Runaway from the Sledgehammer, and it looked like a lot of fun. And I'm just thinking how much more fun that would be if Sledge could be like faster than everybody else. Like, you could alter their speed, and you could have like eight people on the other team.
Basically like Juggernaut from like Halo 3
yeah.
or something.
Yep. Yeah.
You could do some pretty fun. I think they could come up with some pretty cool mods in that framework that they've created.
Yeah, if you make custom games correctly, Halo Reach, they did it so well. I had so much fun with custom games in Halo Reach. Hours. Me and my friends spent hours on Halo Reach custom games. It was so much fun.
I think that's the kind of thing we'd be more likely to see in like a Siege 2, though.
Yeah. If they make it.
They better make it.
Hopefully they'll make it.
I can keep it up with... How are their sales have been on it, though? Like, I've just been too busy playing it.
I think it wasn't a game that had a lot of front-end sales like most games do, but I think it's had a pretty steady, like long tail.
Good. That's what we want anyways, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like their microtransactions aren't doing too bad either, just and that, from what I can tell.
That continuation of people buying the game means continuation of more noobs constantly coming in for us to which we need.
Always. They're actually having a free PC weekend this weekend.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see a new influx of players from that.
Well, and we'll see probably the servers go down again.
That would suck.
I don't know. They've been pretty freaking stable. Like, I haven't noticed.
No, they've been fine, but
the only time we've had a problem is
something like
big
something happens, like the Division beta came out, the servers went down, open beta servers went down like crazy.
Well, yeah, open beta, hence the word beta.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep,
can't really judge a game off beta.
No,
great weekend, but
so good.
But anyway. Yeah, I'd say like Siege Mate is not going to be like a big moneymaker, I don't think, for Ubisoft, but I think it's doing well enough, and Ubisoft is a big enough company that, you know, if they think like, okay, this could be profitable if we give it another shot and we market it a little better, now that we kind of like, we've established that this is a good game, you know, the people do like it. There is like, we have that base community that's going to come back for game two.
Yeah.
I think we could see that. And if they don't, we'll be playing Siege until like 2020 anyway. So
I know we're going to be those guys who are playing, what was it, Raven Shield or Rogue Spear?
Yeah. Still playing
like 20 years later.
Yeah.
I'm down. I'm in.
Sweet. So let's get into Mass Effect. So Chris went back and played Mass Effect in like a week after the last podcast. I guess we convinced him.
Speaking of those jerk young people who've got so much freaking time on their hands.
So what exactly convinced you, dude?
Well, I saw that. So I was actually opening my PC to play Rocket League while I was watching, like, I think I was watching Burn Notice at the time, but I was opening it and then Origin came up too, and it just was one of the things that was on the sale. It was like Mass Effect for like $20. And I was like, I'll just start playing it. And then I just played for like 3 hours until I had to go to work. And then I was like, this game's actually pretty good. And then I just kept playing it.
Turns out this game Ryan's been raving about for 10 years is actually really, really good. What do you know? Yep.
Weird how that works.
Okay, so before we get into ME2, do you have any like impressions you want to share from the first one? Any like special thoughts? Anything you want to argue about what we said last time?
No, I completely agree with everything you guys said. I mean, the same things that bugged you guys bugged me. I think you guys covered it last time. The only thing that I like a lot in like Mass Effect that I haven't played with like other games, because I have, but I was just gonna say like your ability to like say different things and like change like Paragon Renegade. I guess that's the same with like Old Republic, Star Wars Old Republic or whatever.
Turns out they're made by the same people.
Oh really? Well, yeah. I love those kind of games where you can be like a villain or a good person and just be a complete jerk if you want to. I think that's so much fun.
Yeah,
that's what actually kept me in it, because I could just be a jerk.
It's so good.
And just kill people if I wanted to.
And not have Ryan and Taylor yell at you every time you're being a jerk.
Perfect. Yeah.
So you played Infiltrator?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm doing Vanguard. Are you doing Vanguard too, Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to get that straight.
That's the shotgun guy, right? Up close and personal?
Shotgun with biotics.
Yeah, that's me. Yep.
He's pretty cool. I like the charge power in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, the charge. Oh, no, the, so cool. What is it called? The rolling like thunder.
Shockwave.
That's what I always call it. Shockwave.
Rolling thunder here by Karai.
There's a couple times late at night, my wife is asleep and I'm downstairs playing game and I'm just yelling, rolling thunder.
And it's just like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. I love when they bunch up. Oh, it's the freaking best.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
So I know you guys don't really like Jack just because she's kind of weird. But that's the only reason I always have her with me is because she has that shockwave
thing.
And I'm always like, oh, this guy's bugging me. Just take him out real quick.
Yeah. I love
put him in the air and then I'll snipe him.
I don't know if we're going to talk about this later because I was, anyways. But I love the cooldown times in this one where you can actually use your abilities frequently. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like how it's just on screen, the little like half circle.
Yeah.
And when it comes together, you're like, okay, I can go again.
I'm not going to lie. It took me far longer than I'd care to admit.
To realize what that was.
I just learned.
I was like, what the heck is that?
I didn't know what that was. Doing?
Wait, you just learned like this moment?
Yeah, wait, you just told me. Oh, I thought it was like a shoot for a critical shot or something.
Yeah, I thought it was that at first too, or like it was taking time for my incendiary versus cryo to like switch over. It's like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden it just clicked and it's like, oh, I can shoot another rolling thunder as soon as that happens. Perfect.
Yeah. It's nice. Okay, but wait, before we get too much into ME2, so Chris plays all of through Mass Effect and then goes, and because I told him that he should be playing FemShep because she's cooler, and that's true, he doesn't load his save into Mass Effect 2, so pretty much everything he did in Mass Effect doesn't matter.
Did you at least choose the same things?
Yeah, so the council is still dead. The only thing that changed, which only changes because I changed to a female, is Caden's alive now instead of dead, which is fine.
Caden.
But other than that, everything has been the same so far. I'm only like a quarter into the game, but.
And you killed Rex, right?
I did.
So we'll see if Rex stays dead or not.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then what about the Arachnite Queen? What'd you do with that?
Arachnite Queen.
Venezia, the big ugly spider thing. You decide whether to save it or not.
I kill it.
Okay, so you killed that. And did you endorse Anderson at the end? Or Udina?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I endorsed Anderson. That changed too.
That Udina changed. Was,
yep.
So Udina's in charge.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That made me kind of bad. Yeah.
You see, so some stuff definitely is going to be like a big difference. Weird.
I totally saw Udina as like classic politician, like all you care about is your own standing, and just pissed me off. I was like, no, Captain Anderson, war hero guy, gets to go up there. He knows he's not going to be like, no, we're not going to do that because it's going to hurt my standing in politics. He's going to be like, oh, we're going to do that because we're going to save the human life.
I cannot imagine anybody who picks Udina from the first one, like playing through for the first time, like, oh, I think it should be Udina.
I just can't see why you would ever want to do that.
Yeah, it's like one guy's been really cool to you. The other's a freaking moron. Moron. Sold.
Yeah. But I am interested. I'm kind of glad that happened, though, because I'm interested to see that Chris's perspective and Udina being in charge.
Especially because I could never do it in my game. It'd just be too annoying.
I mean, I pretty much went into this one being like, okay, I'm going to try to choose like opposite stuff from what I had before, and I couldn't even do it. I was just like,
No, I
can't do it.
Although I freaking wish I would have murdered the council after dealing with them in ME2.
I know. What the freak?
Like, guys, you saw Sovereign. Like,
how was this even happening? Your A.
I literally saved you. And they're just like, yeah, that's kind of cool, but we're really pissed you're working with Cerberus.
Yeah. We're more concerned about Cerberus than.
Remember that time I was dead and now I'm alive? I'm kind of happy with them at the moment.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The council. Chris, have you gotten to that part too? How far is everybody?
I have Jack. I've got the Krogan. I've got. Who do you get before that? I've got Zaid. And then a bunch of side quests. So I just barely got to the Citadel.
Okay, but you have talked to Anderson.
But I have talked to Anderson.
And Chris,
I've just walked around.
Yeah, I've got everybody. I don't have Grunt, Kasumi, or Thane, but everybody else I have. So I just haven't done. So I did the first collector mission, but I haven't gotten the next because he gave me more dossiers and I haven't gone to those people yet.
Same.
So.
Okay. But so when you talk to Anderson, Chris, oh, wait, have you not done that?
No, I have. I talked to Anderson.
And so is he still like kind of calling the shots for you?
No, not like, necessarily.
I mean, so you still went to talk to Anderson. You didn't go talk to Edina, right?
Yeah, I went. I talked to Anderson, and Anderson was just kind of Edina's little pet pal kind of type.
Interesting.
Yeah, weird.
Okay, well.
What did you do, Ryan?
What did I do?
Where are you? Yeah.
So I've done everything you guys have done. So let's go by party members. You start with Miranda and James. And then are you forced to go first to where Garrus is, or was that just a choice we all made?
No, you have to go to,
you have to start there.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, you go there, you pick up Zaid if you have the DLC. And then Garrus / Archangel.
Archangel. That was awesome. I actually got Zaid last. I got Garrus and then I got Morden.
Well, it's because you were walking past Zaid. I just walked past him. Because you're a weirdo.
Like, I saw him and I was like, I will deal with that later. And then I walked past him. Like, because I just thought, oh, I'll deal with that on my way back. Like, I like to get in there and do stuff and then on my way back and get everything else done. That's just how I like to do it.
That's all weird. Because the game's all about talking to people. I'm just going around talking to anybody who has a name.
Yeah, I was about to say, if I get like the little option, I'm like, ooh, hello.
What do you have to say?
Let's see.
So I got Zaid, I got Garrus, and then Morden is after that on the same place.
Yep.
And then we all went and got Jack, right?
Yep.
Jack's on the prison. We rescued her. And then Chris has the Krogan on the ship, right? Do you have the Krogan on the ship, Taylor?
I have the Krogan on the ship.
Okay. So I have him on the ship and I awakened him.
Oh, you did awaken him. I haven't awakened him
yet. I haven't done anything with him yet.
And then I went to the next planet or to the Citadel and I got Kasumi and Thane.
Oh, wow.
So
did you do the first harvester mission, collector mission?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pissed about that. Like, freak Ash, get on my ship. We're buddies.
Oh yeah. Ashley, she's like, I don't want to talk to you. You're with Cerberus.
You're mean. And we had a relationship and you're mean. It's like, hey, come on, baby girl, get back on the boat.
Come on, baby girl. Okay. So this is something I think is weird in Mass Effect 2. Like, it just seems like the way people react to seeing Shepard, who was dead and is now back to life. Like it never quite seems right.
Yeah. It's always kind of like, oh,
I heard you were alive.
You were dead.
Cool.
Oh, but exactly. I heard you were alive. It's never like, so you were dead.
Like, I mean,
you're not anymore.
Regardless of what you've heard, it seems like if you see him and he's alive, you would give him a hug, you know?
Yeah, right?
Especially being like an old crewmate, like especially with, what's his name? The Joker. Especially with him, like your old pilot.
Well, he can't walk, so.
He can walk now.
Yeah, he can.
He can walk now?
There's a cutscene where he's walking.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, especially when like you with him to your death.
Yeah, you can go talk to him about it, I think.
Oh, you can?
Uh-huh.
I've been so good this round talking to everybody. Like half the time they just turn me away. Shut up, Shepard. I don't have time to talk to you.
So, yeah, can it wait for a little bit? I'm in the middle of some calibrations.
Thanks. Shut up, Garrus.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to talk.
You know who I was more disappointed with than Ashley was Tali.
Uh-huh.
She was my girl. Like, she was my favorite in the first one. Like, yeah, every mission. And then didn't even really just like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm still on my pilgrimage. I've got things to do.
Yeah, it's just like they just don't react quite right. Like, I get that, like, okay, life goes on and everything. And like, it's not like life, like time stands still when you're off doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. But they just don't seem to react right when they thought he was dead.
And after they had this harrowing experience where they saved the galaxy.
Right. Like, I would totally get it if they're like, I wish I could come with you, but I've got stuff going on and I can't. That's fine. But when they first see him, there needs to be a hug. There needs to be like, I can't believe you're alive. Like,
how did this happen? Oh yeah, my gosh.
It's
just,
yeah. It's never quite right.
Yeah.
But other than that, I have very few complaints about Mass Effect 2. It's so good.
Oh my gosh. It really is. And honestly, just the playability of it is unbelievably better.
It is.
Like,
yeah.
Just every control, every mechanic just feels so much smoother.
I definitely agree. I hate ammo over.
Yeah, the ammo gets kind of annoying, but I like that they added the submachine gun. That's fun.
Yeah, like I liked the overheating because it was like you couldn't just use the gun, just that gun, like you had to switch guns. But with the ammo, it's like I'm in a big fight and I have one gun left. Like I can't do anything. It's kind of sucks. Yeah. Like you had to walk around, keep looking for ammo.
I think it might be trying to like push you more toward using your powers and abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. But like my big problem with the ammo is like you're saying, it just never feels like you have enough. And then like the clip sizes never feel quite right. Like I just feel like I'm reloading a lot more than I want to be. And I don't know. You're just always running around picking up clips.
I still don't quite understand how the clips work either. Like sometimes I feel like it refills. So I'm always trying to use the pistol. Got the hand cannon upgrade and that thing is the shiz. The little pocket sniper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it does so much damage. Easy to get a headshot if you're crouched. Like the crosshairs are just right on the line. How do you crouch?
What do you
just taking cover.
Get behind the shoulder.
I was going to say, I've tried to crouch and I thought it was impossible. But yeah, I've
done just getting under crouching cover. But like,
yeah.
But there are times, so I'm always having to default to something else. And sometimes I hit those clips and they don't load my pistol. Sometimes they do. So I still haven't. I could probably figure it out if I just actually paid attention, but I always feel like I'm out of ammo for that one gun.
I think it's just like shared between all your guns when you pick it up. I don't really know how it works either, to be honest. It is confusing.
Yeah. Anyways, but
while we're on the topic of weapons, like another thing too is I don't feel like there's enough weapon variety, at least so far. I'm like, I don't know, probably 9 or 10 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I've gotten like a couple of options on most of the categories of weapons, but like I don't even like there's no stats between the two to like understand like what the real difference is and everything.
Yes,
it's just like these little summaries like, oh, this one is really powerful and they used it in this war and the Alliance likes it, and it's like, well, that's all great, but how much damage does it do and like what's the reload time, and you know, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, give me some specifics here.
Completely agree.
And there's not just many of them to pick from either.
Yeah, I kind of miss. Yeah, there's not, which is nice and not. But what I really miss is like in the last one, you got to the point with knowing, okay, the scimitar's like this. I can't even remember the names though, but it's like, okay, I know that I like the scimitar class of weapons, so I'm going to keep going for those. You kind of lose that a little bit now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I was trying to remember if it's in Mass Effect 2 or 3. I'm pretty sure it's in 3 the farther I get into Mass Effect 2. But there's like actually a weapon bench on the ship or something where you go and you can like actually like put on like modifications and stuff. Cool. So it's like way more customizable.
I'm pretty sure
it's in the third one.
I don't remember that. I mean, you've got your armory where Jacob is.
Yeah.
But you can't really do anything with it.
Yeah, I don't think it's in this one. So I think what they did is they tried to, because the first one was like overbearing a little bit.
Way, way, way.
Yeah. And so they tried to simplify it, but they went a little too far.
I think you're right. Not, I mean, I still want it to be an RPG. I love RPGs. Exactly. But also, like, not too RPG.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I love, though, when we're talking about upgrades and weapons, absolutely think that the way that you probe planets for those rare metals, that is cool. That's a good system, I feel like.
It's funny you say that because I remember doing it a bunch last time. I probably did every single planet you could, knowing myself. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, of course you did.
I went into it this time and I went to my first planet to scan and I started doing it and I was like, oh yeah, this. And I just like wanted to stop immediately. And I was like, I'm not going to do this until I run out of resources. Cause luckily, like having all the achievements for Mass Effect 1 and having carrying over a save file, it gives you like a lot of bonuses, mm-hmm. resources. And so I'm just like, I got plenty right now and I'm not doing this again until I need to. Oh man.
That's funny. And maybe I'll get sick of it. Having never done it, like right now, like I like being able to specifically go and look for something and be able to get it in order to upgrade.
Yeah. I guess it's not bad. I don't know. I'm just sick of it, I think.
Makes sense.
I think it's cool too, but it's also like not fun to like keep doing over and over again, like just scanning through the planets.
Right.
When I could go run around, do other stuff.
Right.
Hmm.
Well, so there's another problem with the resources in the game, and that's that there's a finite amount. I don't remember if it's like all the resources or just the one in particular, but there's a finite amount where you get to a point. I think it's just credits, actually. I don't think it's resources. I think credits. There's only a certain number of credits in the game, and there's no like reliable income of credits.
That's good to know.
Yeah, because you can't sell weapons, right? Isn't that because there's not a bunch of like weapons that you get. You just have like, oh, now I've unlocked this weapon and I can choose it. You don't actually collect weapons as you go. And so they've taken out the source of income basically. And you get to a point where like you literally can't afford stuff and there's no way to make money anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's really weird. And hopefully one of the DLCs has fixed that and added something, but that's to be seen.
To TBD.
Yes. But I'm liking the DLC stuff I'm seeing so far.
For me, it's hard to know. Okay, did you guys do the side mission where you get the cool little like Mako 2.0? The Firewalker?
No.
Yeah, that thing's the shiz.
I'm pretty sure that's DLC because I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I thought so. And so there's a whole string of missions. So you can't use them in the normal missions because you still land in that like, what is it?
The shuttle. Little
shuttle thing. And so you don't get to drive the Mako. But there's a whole whack of these Firewalker missions where you get to drive it. And it's everything wish the Mako was. Like, as annoying as that stupid machine was, it's like awesome.
Sweet.
Anyway, I would recommend going and finding that. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm going to make it.
Yeah, where'd you start those missions?
I don't know. As I've been flying to the different places, I always just hit the side planets that have the thing. So I did like Zaid side mission.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So
yeah. Let him kill that dude.
Cool. Yeah.
Should we run through some of the characters and just see what we think about them?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So starting with Miranda, what's your guys' read on her?
I don't like her. I want to kill her. I hope that's not.
You want to kill her?
That's been my number one task. Every time I go to her, I try to be like so as mean as I can, and every time I go to James, I try to be as nice as I can. Oh, I want to split him apart, and then I want either him to shoot her or I want to shoot her. One of the two.
All right. Oh man, I love Miranda. But I think a large part of that is that the voice actor is the girl from Chuck.
Oh yeah.
And so I think like as soon as I heard her voice, like there was that rush of like nostalgia. I was like, Chuck was a fun show.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But her voice did sound really familiar. There you go.
It's
Chris right is there. Like, crap, now I like her.
Cute.
Yeah.
But I like her.
Have you guys noticed the creative camera angles they choose whenever you're speaking to her? You should go talk to her more.
Yep.
Is it like accenting or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The way they frame the shot is just like, why?
Why
is her butt taking up the whole lower third of the screen?
Yes.
They kind of do the same thing when you're FemShep and you go and talk to people.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. But yeah, I kind of like Miranda. I also kind of don't, because she's just too loyal to Cerberus, and I don't feel great about the Elusive Man.
Mm.
So yeah, that's the thing, not playing the game before, I feel like she's so loyal and I feel like something's going to happen and I'm going to be like, and she's just going to completely side with Cerberus, be like, oh, I don't care, Cerberus is the way to go. I'm going to be like, okay, time for you to die. Kaboom.
I'm excited to go to see her mission where like the dad is trying to find the sister, because I want to see more of her backstory to understand like the relationship with Cerberus. Like if he's really as big of a douchebag as she says, like then it makes that relationship make more sense to me. But I guarantee that Cerberus is going to be a problem in this game. Like,
oh yeah, there's just so much leading up to it.
You're just like, oh man, they are gonna knife you in the back, Shepard. Be careful.
Yep. Yeah. What about James?
I think you're right.
I'll go first.
I like him.
I like James, but whoever animated his lips for the cutscene is the worst. Like, I don't know what they were thinking. And maybe it's just my install. Maybe it's everybody's, but like, all of the voice acting's great, but like the animation of the mouth moving isn't fantastic in this game, but he is especially awful. Like, there are times his bottom lip droops like beneath his chin. It's weird. It's bad.
I haven't even noticed.
So because of that,
you just don't even want to deal with him.
I just go through his menus as fast as I can just so that I get the talking to him. Yeah, sure. I'll go see if your dad is dead, but I'm not going to freaking talk to you for a long time because it drives me crazy.
Yeah. I feel like James is a little bland. Like, it's sort of like a thing through all the Mass Effect games where the human characters are the least interesting.
That's fair.
And it's just like, I don't know, like, he's okay. And like the only time where there's really like any significant character to him is when he's like, oh, my dad's dead or maybe dead or something. And that's like his whole character. I don't know.
Interesting.
I just think he's kind of boring. Toph, yeah. You got any input?
I like him. I don't know. No real opinion. Just, I like him. I think he's a good guy.
He's just there.
Yeah, I feel like he'll be loyal to me over Cerberus if something were to happen.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely feel like he's more...
he's my team.
Yeah. He's all about Shepard.
Yeah.
Zaid? I feel like Zaid's too much of a stereotype for me to like him too much.
Yeah, and it's hard because you can't talk to him. Like, he doesn't have like actual... like dialogue. Conversation, yeah. Dialogue boxes. It's just like, you click on them. I don't know.
He'll tell you a weird story.
He's not even my favorite to have on the team when I go out.
He's just a soldier, I think, right?
I liked his mission that I went and did for him just because like that's exactly what I would have done as Shepard. Just like, no, I don't care what you have to say. I'm going to go kill that guy. He's over.
I haven't gotten to that yet, so.
Oh.
I mean, you can talk about it, but I'm just saying, like, I don't have any input on it.
Yeah. So I'm doing everything 100% Paragon. And so for me, I was like, yeah, forget your grudge, man. There are people who are going to blow up in the refinery. Let's go figure that out, jerk face. So I actually started to like him a lot less after that.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I'm doing the complete opposite. I'm trying to do 100% Renegade. So I was like, watch that guy at the factory, like, get all mad and start complaining. And I was like, screw that guy. We got to go kill this other guy first instead because you've only held the grudge on him for the last 20 years. I felt pretty bad, but I was like, nope, full Renegade. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
If you're going to be Renegade, you got to be committed.
You got to be committed.
I get so mad when I do something and I'm like, I think it's going to be a Renegade thing, but then she says it nicely. It's like, you idiot. That was supposed to be rude. And then I get like +2 Paragon at the end of the thing. I'm like, come on. Seriously?
All right, then there's my boy Garrus.
Garrus is a bad A in this game, like far more than he was last time.
Yeah, he like I feel like, so there's a lot of love around Garrus, like in the Mass Effect community and stuff, and I feel like he gets it all starting in this game because like Mass Effect 1, he's just kind of like, oh, you're the old CSEC officer that you're with me because I don't care about red tape.
Yeah,
but he's just like, Garrus is your bro. Like,
even the fact that he, like, they talk about, oh, I hate the red tape and everything. But then again, he's not like very brash in the first one. Like, for somebody who hates being tied down so much, he seems pretty respectful. But in this one, it's like, I'm going to freaking murder you if you don't do what's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just like, I am a... what's that word that starts with a V?
Vigilante.
Yeah, I'm a vigilante. Like, I don't care if, like, Shepard, you're my bro, but if you start being bad, you're in trouble.
So, I'm going to friggin' murder you. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, Garrus is cool, man. I like Garrus.
I like Garrus a lot. I never bring him on missions because I like, there's other people that I like on missions more, but I do think Garrus is super cool, super awesome.
Yeah,
especially his Archangel, and I love thing. That was cool.
Yeah, his freaking origin in this game is so good. Like,
yeah,
he's just like, oh, we got to find Archangel. He's gonna be awesome. And you get there, you're like, Garrus. And then he like gets blown up and he's like, I'm good.
Yeah. It's like freaking shredded battle armor. You're like, yeah, you're cool, man.
He's so tight. All right. So Garrus is the man.
Amen. Morden.
Morden is, I love Morden. I'm going to start. I love Morden. I bring him on every single mission because he always says something hilarious. So I have to bring him with me. Because I always like question, like, will I have ever heard that if I didn't bring him with me? It's always, I have to bring him because he's so funny.
Morden is pretty solid. He's in my rotation for most. Like, I would say he comes along on at least half of the missions.
Yeah, good choice. He's definitely in contention for like one of my favorites in the series. He's so good. He's just so funny and like he's like funny in like a really smart way, you know, like I don't know, I really like him.
Well, we're all in agreement on that one.
Yeah. Everybody loves Morden. Jack.
I like Jack. It's kind of an interesting character, but it's also slightly uncomfortable taking her around.
Yeah. I'm always waiting for my wife. Anything.
I'm always waiting for my wife to turn the corner and be like, what are you playing? Like, oh, don't worry about it.
It's fine. Trust me.
It's all right. Don't worry.
Don't worry. Those belt straps stay put.
The only reason I always bring Jack with me is because of her biotic abilities. Like, I don't have any of that. And so to have her there, like when something's a pickle, I'm like, Jack, you take care of this. I'm going to do this over here.
Yeah.
And she's always like, she's the girl for that stuff.
Rolling Thunder, baby.
Yep.
Yep. I'm trying to think of anything else to say about Jack. I think she's a little too much of a hard ass.
Yeah.
Like, you're like,
hey, cool it there.
Like, okay. I get it. You don't like people. You don't trust anyone. I get it. You can stop. Like, we're on a team for now. So let's just be civil.
I don't know.
And then like, I was trying to talk to her and she's just like, look, if you want to have sex, let's just do it. I'm like, whoa.
That escalated very quickly.
Okay, BioWare, chill out, man.
Yeah, BioWare always forcing you to do weird things with fake people.
So that's pretty much all you guys have, right?
Yeah.
So far. So I've got Grunt, Kasumi, and Thane past that. And just quick thoughts. I'll let you guys form your own opinions. But Grunt is a really cool Krogan. Kasumi has the most amazing ability. So you guys should get her as soon as possible because she is so tight. And she's cool. Brand new to me. So I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And then Thane, he's always been my favorite. Ever since the first time I played. Thane is the man.
Man, there's a good cast of characters in this one.
It's good. It's way better than the first one, I think.
If I don't ever get Tali, though, I'm going to be kind of disappointed.
Tali, she's definitely not done in the series. Don't worry about Tali.
Okay, good.
I figured she wasn't, but I could lose a lot of those first characters. But Rex and Tali, they better be in my story. I didn't save Rex for nothing.
I killed him.
Moron. I
can't believe you killed
him. Shot him in the head.
Rex is such a cool guy.
He is cool, but he got the wrong idea. Jeez.
But you can talk him down if you're just calm.
Yeah, but no, it's like, dude, I already told you what's going on. You got to listen to me. You're not going to listen. I'm going to shoot you in the head. So you didn't listen. I shot him in the head. Most
is that I feel like the Renegade is actually your personality, Chris. I
know.
Hope you never have an ounce of power.
This is the way we're going to go. And if you're not going to go there with me, then you're dead.
I was just thinking that too. Like, that's so Chris. Like, no, it has to be this way. And it has to be this way right now. We're not going to talk about it because I know I'm right. So if you're not on board, you're out. Like,
oh boy.
It's like, no, let's just chill. Let's all just
everybody
talk.
Take
we'll
a
all
step
share
back.
Our opinions.
Let's talk this over.
We're going to get everyone's input and then we're all going to make a decision that's in everyone's best interest. But no, Rex is lying on that beach bleeding out while Ashley and Chris are going on a xenophobic spree.
And he did not get a proper funeral, let me tell you. They went and asked me if he should get a proper funeral. I said, no, you've made a rot.
Oh my God.
Don.
We got to change the subject. I can't handle this.
Freaking Rex, man.
Rex is the man, you moron.
Jeez.
Anyways.
Okay, last thing I want to bring up in Mass Effect 2. So we were talking about like people reacting weird to Shepard. So I went to go see Liara, and this one was weird too, in the opposite way. So I romanced Liara in the first one, and I walked up to her and she's like, "Shepherd." And she just like walks up, like gives me like a big makeout kiss, and then sits down and starts casual, like regular, like, "This is the mission" conversation.
You're like, "Wait, what just happened?" Like,
okay, now I got the affection, but I got no like dialogue. Like, it's just weird. It's like, "Oh, I guess you really miss Shepherd, huh?"
Hello.
She's feeling it.
Yes, she is. And I just started her Layer of the Shadowbroker DLC, which is supposed to be like the best thing that ever happened to the Mass Effect series. So,
oh, is that a DLC?
Yeah, that'll be good. We should make an effort to all finish that one before we do the next podcast.
Okay, that sounds good.
And get our input on that.
I'll probably have the game finished by then.
I've learned with Mass Effect, you got it. I just do all the side quests, man.
Oh yeah, you don't want to leave any side quests undone. Huge
difference.
My problem with playing Mass Effect is like, I love playing Rocket League, so I can play Rocket League and I can watch Burn Notice or Survivor at the same time, because I can like look away from the screen if I want to look at something for a second.
Yeah.
Or if like I can pay attention to the thing while I'm playing the game. Like, that game doesn't require very much thinking, but like Mass Effect is like, I have to listen to what the characters are saying here. If I want to look at this screen, then my character is going to die on the other screen, so I can't see what's going on in the show.
Yeah, totally.
Right. Like, well, and you also, like, you don't want to be distracted because you're actually having conversations and stuff. Like,
yeah, I don't want to miss stuff. And then not only that, but it's also like, like when I play, I want to play for a long time. So if it's like 2 p.m. and I just got home from like doing whatever, like going out to lunch and going and doing errands or whatever, and then I come home and it's like I only have an hour before I have to get ready for work. I don't want to be able to play more than just an hour.
Gotcha.
So I just play Rocket League instead.
That's fair.
That's what Rocket League's good for.
This is true.
All right. I think that ties up Mass Effect 2, and that might just tie up the podcast. Not really any siege to talk about, is there?
Other than we're coming out of a serious slump.
Yeah. Holy, oh my gosh. We've been so bad lately. Actually,
I do want to talk about playing with communication with Siege and not without it. Like, there is a big difference with playing when you're like, all right, this is what we're going to do. I'm doing this. This is where I am right now. I need help right now. Instead of just being like, not saying anything, going your own ways, like, huge difference. Huge.
100%.
Yeah. So I think what happened to us is just like, so we started playing this game in the closed beta. So we were a step ahead of most people playing it. Mm-hmm. And like, we were pretty good at it, I'd say. And then we got good enough where we were far enough ahead of the curve that we didn't really have to try. And so then we got to the point where the community starts to catch up. And suddenly, if we're not taking it seriously, and like the casuals aren't playing it anymore, you know, it's now people who really like the game. And so if we're not taking it seriously, we're getting wrecked. And so like, we just got to this point where we forgot that you actually have to like play this game tactically.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. We just got so chill about everything and going and doing, like, look at our operator selection for the past couple of weeks. We've all been just choosing whatever we want. We don't care what it fits with.
I'm choosing T'Chanka half the time.
Yeah, it's just we're being dorks, and oh boy, have we been getting stomped, ranked and casual.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a time where I hadn't played Siege in probably like 2 weeks, so I missed a couple Siege Fridays. I don't know when it was. It must have been, I don't know, but I had missed like a lot of Siege time. And I came back and I was just like trying to do my own thing. It's like, okay, this game is like, what the heck? Like, and then like just last night, it was probably like the time before that we played, but last night I was actually like trying and like actually communicating. It's like, okay, it's just need to communicate in this game. Forgot about that.
Yeah, I think that was another side of the issue, is that we weren't playing as much as we were before.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely like it's all about communication. Like, this is only reinforced that like this game is so not your typical shooter. Like, you have to be talking and you have to like choose the right team and you have to make sure that you're doing the smart thing. Like, you don't want to just every single time just like go straight into the objective. You want to make sure you're clearing stuff.
Yes,
but we're getting better, so you should definitely come check out our streams and watch us be good at Siege again, because we have way more fun when we're good, and they're funny streams. It's good stuff.
Funny is a good way to say it.
They're definitely funny.
Oh man.
We should talk about Bartlett University just for a second, because it was like, it's been 4 months now since they officially said, yeah, we're working on that map. It's going to be out. 5 months. Almost 5 months. It's been 5 months. They said, yeah, we're working on that map. It's going to be out shortly for both PvP and PvE.
And yeah, so Bartlett University is on the, what's that called?
It's called Article 5
Situations. Yeah, an Article 5 mission. Yeah, the situation. You go to this university, basically, that's been attacked by terrorists, and there's like green gas all over the place, and you do this situation there, and that's the only thing it's used for. And it was promised to be also a multiplayer map, but it's not a multiplayer. So we're just waiting, and it's 4 months later, and there's no word. It's just like, what's going on here, guys?
The thing is, like, I don't get why. Like, I don't know how it works. I don't know if they broke the map when they put the smoke in. I don't know what happened or why it's not out at all. But I feel like you have the map built. Like, it can't be that difficult to put in objectives and make it for multiplayer. Like, I don't know.
My best guess is that it wasn't designed and balanced with multiplayer in mind. Mm-hmm. And so now they're having to retroactively refit it. And that can be a challenge for sure.
I almost feel like they haven't said anything about it. I haven't seen anything where it's just kind of like, oh crap, just forget.
The last time they said something was December 7th on that Ask Me Anything. That's the last time they ever said anything about it, and they haven't
said anything
since. It's been 5 months.
That's all right. We're getting a new. Where's 3.0 launching? It should be here soon.
Yeah, they haven't announced it yet.
They announced it's coming this month, so.
They did announce that
very soon. Yeah. Yep. It's Epi said it the other day, like maybe a week ago. He said it's coming April.
My guess is it'll come for season pass, probably like right toward the end of April, and then we'll get it in May.
I'm excited to see some new ops.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And a new map. That'd be really fun too. I hope it's better than Yacht, because I still don't like Yacht.
No, yeah, it's not my fave. Everybody was so excited for Yacht, and even like just the concept playing on a boat. It didn't really.
I think from Yacht we expected something different, and like I expected to be on a boat in the water, you know, and like come up onto it from like Zodiacs or something.
Yeah.
Like that wouldn't be that much different, really. It could be the exact same map like that, but I don't know. It's just it adds something to it. It's different than I expected from.
I was expecting like when it was a boat, I was expecting like a bigger boat, like kind of not a like military boat, but just a bigger boat, not just like a little yacht, you know? Like I wasn't expecting it to be so roomy like it is.
Yeah, and like the thing is, it's just like it's all just like tiny, tight corridors and stuff. Like there's, I guess that's how boats are.
Well, and it just doesn't seem to make sense. Like nothing is symmetrical. I don't know. It's probably, other than Clubhouse, probably my least favorite map.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's like Clubhouse in that it doesn't really have a good flow to it. Mm-hmm. Like, and sort of the same way like Canal and like Oregon, because the buildings are, because like it's sort of split into like separate areas that are almost so disconnected that you don't ever use one if you're in the other.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It doesn't have a nice flow like Consulate where, you know, if you're in like basement, then you could still be running around on the top floor because there could be value in that if you're doing it right.
I like that.
So let's get a good
one. Give us
one.
Something good. Yeah. Give us something good. Come
I
on.
Wish I wish they
Come
would on, just movie. Tease the title or something.
I wish too would you get a better map rotation, because I haven't played Bank in seriously probably a month. It's been a long time since I've played Bank.
I wonder if we should turn all of our preferences on. I wonder if like limiting it like we have is just kind of jacked over everything.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I honestly don't mind any map now other than Yacht and Plane. Those are the two I just don't like. Every other map, Canal, I can play it a couple times, but more than that, it gets mad at me. I get mad at it.
Both it gets mad at versa. Me.
We don't have a good friendship, but
I'm starting to like playing more and more.
It's so
I think why though is I've been maining Montaigne, and he's so useful on plane.
Yeah,
that is. I think that's part of it, is like, just felt good about it.
I think that's definitely part of like starting to like a map better too, is just finding the right operator for it and like learning how to play that operator right on that map. Because it can be more different than it looks like at face value, I think. I think there's a lot of nuance. But yeah, I'm kind of with Chris. Like, I don't really mind any map. I'm just sick of like the really bad rotation.
Yeah.
Like, we're just playing the same maps over and over and over again.
And well, bank's a great example, because we lived in the bank for like 2 weeks. Like, every other map was bank. And now, you're right, I kind of forgot the bank existed.
Yeah. And bank is so good.
Bank is fun.
Frank, bank is good.
Bank and cafe. We haven't seen a lot of cafe either.
Yeah, we've done a little bit of cafe here and there, but not nearly as much.
It was like bank cafe, bank cafe, bank cafe, house. Okay, house is never in that rotation.
Nope. Consulate's been a little MIA too.
I don't know. I would love to know how they do that. What the system is.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's about pretty all we good. Have to talk about.
Yeah.
Anything else from the gallery? Take that as a no.
I think that silence tells us everything we need to know.
Nope. All right. Well, you can follow us on YouTube. That's VG Fiasco, and we stream frequently, but sporadically. So follow us on YouTube Gaming and you'll get alerts about that. We're on Twitter also, VG Fiasco, and you guys should email us some stuff you want us to talk about, because we're running out of things. So what are your thoughts on Mass Effect 2? What are your thoughts on the party members we talked about? What do you think they should bring to Siege? What kind of new operators would you like to see? What do you want from the next map? Let us all know.
Any cheap indie games that are we should take some time on? Let us know.
Something that we can get into real quick and get some good experience in just a couple of weeks. Let us know for sure. VGFiasco@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter, and we'll read your emails and we'll tell you what we think. But I think we should close this out. We did a podcast, guys.